Good morning. The first reading is from 2 Corinthians, can be found on page 1160 of the Church Bibles. And I'm going to read chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have reinforced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we recommend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of Christ, of glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and as ourselves, as your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew 9:9-13, and it can be found on page 973 of the Church Bibles. Matthew 9:9-13, page 973. The calling of Matthew. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Come on, John. As we invite John to come and speak to us, let's pray. Sovereign Father, we thank you for the words you've given John. And we ask that our minds, bodies and souls and hearts are open to these words and they fill us with joy and the desire to go out and make disciples of all we meet. In Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Thank you for those words, just right. My name is Matthew, Saint Matthew. Very kind of you to call me saint, but all it means is I'm a disciple of Christ, like St. Carol or St. Julie or St. Andrew. And I thought what I'd do this morning is come here and give my testimony, because it's my day today, 21st of September, St. Matthew's Day. And as it's on a Sunday, it'd be good to tell you all about me. You've got a testimony, haven't you, about how Jesus has worked in your life? If someone said to you, "Tell me all about your life with Jesus," could you start and do it and then stop? How long would it take? An hour? 2 hours? Why don't you, when you get to bed tonight, sit and work out what you'd say if someone said that? Of course, they might not say that. You might just have an opportunity, if you've worked out all those words tonight, you might have an opportunity just to say a little word or two to someone in response to something they say. And over the years, you might have given your testimony in full to a lot of people. But work out what you're going to say. I've worked out what I'm going to say to you this morning about my life with Jesus. And what I'd recommend to you is you do what I'm doing now, which is to tell you what's happening before I met Jesus, the story of what happened when I met Jesus, and the story of what my life's like after I met Jesus. Yeah, so do it in three bits. So before I met Jesus, well, my name is Matthew Levi. In other words, I'm a Jew from the priestly line of Levi. But I'm not a priest. You know what I was. I became a tax collector, didn't I? Now, you'd be right to wonder why on earth anybody would want to be a tax collector. Well, I've thought about that as well, and I reckon it's just because it's my nature. There's a lot of me, of that in me. For instance, I'm the analytical sort, and I'm good with numbers, and I'm good with money, and I can speak Hebrew and Greek, and I can write in Hebrew and Greek, and I can write sort of long reports and stuff. And all of those things a tax collector needs. So I think it was right that of all the jobs on offer, that's what I became. Unfortunately, when you become a tax collector, you leave all your friends behind, don't you? And that's where it was. Because the only time a Jew would talk to me, a Jew, was when he had some money to give me. And by Jove, I had to give me a lot of money. Do you know what it was like? Well, it starts with Caesar, of course. He used to say to Israel, this is how much I need, you know, for Rome. And then, who would he tell? You've probably heard of him, Pontius Pilate. He was in charge then. And of course, he's got roads to build, aqueducts to build, armies to feed and to clothe and whatnot. So he had to raise a lot more. And then who would he tell to do it all? You've heard of him as well, Herod. You remember him? Well, he would have to raise, and he had lots of palaces and things and servants that he had to raise money for. So it goes up again. Then you've got chief tax collectors, and then it comes down to me, and I had to live. They don't give you money, you know, to raise taxes. You have to add a bit on for your own needs. Not too much, I hope. But you can see why people wouldn't like me when I have to say, you need to pay all this money to me. And I taxed everything that moved, you know, people, goods, travel. We invented toll roads long before the M25 was built, I tell you. So that was me before I met Jesus. And when I met Jesus, there I was, sitting in my tax collector's booth, and he walked by. Well, I knew quite a bit about him. We all do. I mean, let's face it, he's flavour of the month, really. Everybody was talking about him. Because, you see, God had promised to send the Messiah, you know, the anointed one, the one chosen to be the one who would be the saviour of Israel. And people were looking at him and saying, could he be the one? Well, when he walked past, he turned and said, just two words to me, follow me. And I thought, he really is charismatic. This could be the one, you know. And I thought, somebody else can raise all this money and lose their friends. I'm going to follow him. So I did. And it turns out he was the one he claimed to be. Mind you, I needed a lot of teaching first. One of the first things he did was take us all, there were 12 of us to start with, but many more later on, take us all up on a hillside and give us a jolly good talking to, teaching us. And I was with him there on that hillside. I was with him on another hillside when he fed thousands of people, and he did it more than once. I was there when he healed people. I was there when he drove out demons. I was there when he calmed the storm. I was there when he walked into Jerusalem, or went into Jerusalem on a donkey to be proclaimed King of the Jews. I was there at a wonderful final meal he had with us. I was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. That wasn't very nice at all. When the soldiers came, we all fled. I'm not very proud about that. But the following day, I was there when he was crucified. And I was there the following Sunday evening when he came through locked doors, showed us the hands and his feet and said, peace be with you. We knew he was arisen. He was alive. I was also there 40 days after that in Galilee when he ascended to heaven and gave us that great commission to go. And what's my life like now that Jesus has left us to go? Well, all our apostles, there were 12 of us who were appointed apostles, but there's many more. We all had to go. And you get people like Thomas, who I think went to India. Peter, of course, went to Rome. I think it's Ethiopia for me. But the thing that you probably remember me for most is my book. Yes, I'm coming to plug my book this morning. It's a good book, part of a really big good book, and my book is the best-selling book of all time, admittedly with the other 65 books in the same volume that it's sold with. And it's called The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now, when you open a book, in the inside cover, it often says, the author asserts the right to be called author of this book. You've seen that in certain books, like novels and history books and things. Well, I can't say that, because I wasn't the first person to write a gospel. The first person was Mark, just the young lad, Mark. He got most of what he knew from Peter, and he wrote it down. Because he wasn't one of the 12 who was going around with us, you know, for those 3 years. Though I think I saw him towards the end of the ministry on that last night in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he ran away, we all ran away, and that wasn't a pretty sight, I can tell you. But he wrote that book, and you know, 90% of what he wrote in his book, I lifted and put into my book. 90% of it. And of course I added lots more. Lots more that's sort of like me, you know, and also like the people I was writing to, because I was writing to Jews, because I am a Jew. And I think because of that, with Jesus being the fulfillment of all the prophecies, that's why they put my book the first in the New Testament, because I was explaining about Jews and how they should be accepting Jesus for the purpose of taking the gospel to people who weren't Jews. And yes, it contains a lot about me and my nature, because it's very analytical. There are 5 major speeches by Jesus, including the Sermon on the Mount, of course. That's in there. There are 12 miracles in there. 50 times I have quotations in there from the Old Testament that prove that Jesus is the Messiah in my book. But there's one thing I did to show that the gospel came to Jews, but for everybody, even people in Mark's day. And it's this. At the very beginning of the book, I'm the only one who explained about in the birth narrative about the wise men coming. So that right at the beginning, there are non-Jews praising God as well as the Jews he came to. And at the very end of the gospel, the last 5 verses of my gospel are the Great Commission. And you'll know what that says, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. And so, as he gave us all of that authority, I'm saying to you now, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I have told you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I am with you to the very end of the age. And that, the last phrase in my book, is the one thing we've all got to remember. I am with you to the very end of the age. So that's my testimony, the before, the middle, the after. So what I'd say to you is, please do, when you get to bed tonight, work out what you would say if somebody said, stand up for an hour and tell me your faith story. You probably never will do it in full like that. But if you've got all the words that you would say, you'll find it very easy when somebody says, why did you do that? You'd be able to give them a little snippet of your testimony, wouldn't you? Because you'll know what they need at that particular moment. And take my advice. Make it very like you. Don't try to be anybody else, like Matthew. Just be you and tell it the way it happened for you, in easy words. Oh, and like I did, tell it, know it as you do, speak to other people the way they need to hear it, like I did. But above all things, just remember that wherever you are, wherever you go with the gospel, you have that promise at the end of my book. Remember, I am with you to the very end of the age. Amen.